So this message I've been working on for the last few weeks is something that we probably should hear maybe once a year. And I don't know whether I heard it in 2018. I heard it at the feast one year. It was a sermonette that somebody brought. And actually it was in Italy where I heard it. It was a message that a young guy that we met there, him and his wife, I think they used to live in the Toronto area, did they not? Kirk and Bibi? Yeah, they live in Ohio, I think, now. And I thought of that message when I was putting this message together. And it's something that I've had in the back of my mind for a while. So here it is. As grown-ups now, most of us in this room, can remember back to the days of our childhood and the thoughts that we had in our days of childhood. And I've mentioned this before in another message, but I can remember a couple of thoughts from my childhood days. Actually, quite a few, but the two that really stuck out, and I can remember the day where I was and what I was doing on these particular days that I said these things. Because I was trading with another friend of mine, childhood thoughts, and he was telling me some of his stuff, and that's interesting. But I come up with this. I thought, I were glad my mom and dad sat down and planned to have me. That must have been some planning. Oh, it's a childhood thought. I mean, that doesn't happen, does it? Because we've all got our own children. We never planned to have our... Some of them just happened, and we never thought, I'm going to have, you know, Jonesy or whatever his name is, or Abigail, whatever the name is. I'm going to have that person. I'm going to have it just like exactly like this. We're going to have blonde hair or red hair or whatever the case may be. That doesn't happen. But as a child, that's the thought that came across my mind. I thought, am I ever glad my parents designed or decided to have me? Another childhood thought I have was this. My dad was out in the backyard playing catch with baseball gloves, playing catch back and forth. I used to like doing that. He used to do that with me occasionally. And this was an afternoon, probably in the summer, and he had his shirt off. I looked at my dad. I never ever seen him with a shirt off before. And he had this something wrong with his shoulder. I looked at him. Dad, what happened to your shoulder? He never answered me. And he was one of these guys who was few with words, my dad. But when he used words, it caught your attention. You know, one of those kind of guys. Still waters run deep. You've probably heard that expression. That's what he was. Anyways, I asked my mom later. I asked Dad what happened to his shoulder, and he never told me what happened to his shoulder. Something not right about it. Oh. He got shot during World War II. And I remembered that, and I was telling my friend that day that, am I ever glad my dad never got killed during World War II? Because if he had of, I wouldn't be here. That was a childhood thought that caught this friend of mine's attention. But you know, it's interesting because we can remember that. But not one of us can remember the days prior to our birth. There's a 9-month period there that we're alive in the womb, and I can't remember a thought during that period of time. Can you? Because I can't remember it.
Probably didn't have one.
Get out of the way.
Well, we were.
Oh yeah.
When you think about, I don't think we never thought about that. But we were alive, we were growing, and we could probably hear things, but you can't remember any thoughts you had, if you had any. You can't remember any thoughts of that time in that 6-month period when we're inside the womb, that cavity of our mother's, in our mother's body. So in this cozy little position, we developed until the day that we made our exodus, right? Day number one. And we then took up residence outside the womb. And from that very day, we've grown and we've developed continually interacting with other people. It started off on that very first day. You've probably seen these stories where the nurse grabbed, this is the old 1940s thing, where they grabbed the baby by the 2 feet and they slap him on the rear end. So he cries. What's that do? Beautiful, I knew you'd say that. Mothers think of that, don't they? Did they ever do that? Do you guys remember that kind of thing going on?
Santa was a nurse.
No, I don't know. I'm asking. No. June really June would to do that to Brenna. Is that what happened to Brenna?
That's what happened to me. All right.
Well, you know.
I was just too glad that she was here to be bothered worrying what they were doing to her.
Yeah. But you know, since that day one, that's an interaction, right, with people. Here the nurse is interacting with this little child to get it to breathe on its own.
Yeah.
Because all that time during the 9 months, we were taking Aaron through this umbilical cord. I'm guessing that's how it works. That's my doctoring experience that comes in there. But this connection that we had with the world at that first day, it's never stopped. The connection is always ongoing, and it's going to be ongoing until the day that we draw our very last breath. It will happen that long. So, if you think about it for a minute, if we consider something for a minute, how many people have you, how many people have I come in contact with over the years since that very first day? I'll bet if you made a list, it would be staggering. Perhaps hundreds upon hundreds, perhaps thousands for some of you, especially if you're a school teacher. Especially if you're a nurse. I don't know what other vocations the rest of you would have had. I come into contact with a lot of people working in a factory. There was something like 400 or 500 there at any given time. Multiply that by three shifts, different people coming and going all the time. So this took place in our lives. And as we progress through life, classrooms full of children we come to know. I'll call them people. In some way, shape, or form, it happened. As I just talked about working world, hundreds of people there for all of us, probably. All this factors into the equation. Connections with other people happened quite naturally, didn't it? Along the way of life. And these connections have been severed because I think of all the children that I grew up with on the playground. I don't have any connection with any of them. Maybe women are a little more social, and I know the girls here just went off on a cruise with friends they know them right from the hospital, basically, right? Right from coming out. I tell the story about two of the girls. Oh, they didn't go. Two of the girls they know are twins. Same age as Sandy and Sonia, maybe a little older, and they've kept that contact for over 60 years. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So women have that. That's something that's a strength that a woman has, where a man doesn't have that so much. They don't interact with people of the past near as much. But, you know, all along this path of life, this kind of thing has happened to us. I use the word fellowship. We fellowship with these people throughout our lives, and we've kept some and we've lost some. But along this path of life that we're on, all of us right now, something extra special has happened. And I thought of the word detour. It's not a good enough word, because detour is something that is usually temporary, isn't it? And it takes us off the original path. What does it do a little bit later? It puts us back on the original path again. And so we haven't really been involved with a detour. This thing I'm talking about is extra special. And it's actually a new road of life that we've been involved in. And it's kind of a more permanent situation. It's more permanent, this direction, isn't it? And it's off the well-worn path of what we'd call the byway that most others are traveling on. I think you know what I'm talking about. It's a calling we've been given, isn't it? Okay, this new route we have entered onto is something that is, let's say, beyond the ordinary to human life. It is. It's become a supernatural, spiritual direction, and it's been an extension or an addition to what we would refer to as being the normal physical direction of life. This path that you're on, this path that I'm on, doesn't come to the ordinary person too often. It doesn't. You just don't find most people on this particular path that we're on. What has happened to us is amazingly special. God the Father called us out of the around. I use that terminology quite often. I call it the around. It's what's going on around us. All the people around us. Out of the world is the phraseology that you'll hear a lot of ministers use. They use that. We've been called out of the world. We've heard that phraseology, haven't we? And we did something. We answered the call. We did. And we've all come to see just how special that this new route that we found ourselves on, that we find ourselves on, we just come to see how special that new direction is. So let's turn to a scripture now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. Now I made the mention of detour here. 1 Corinthians 2, we're only going to use one scripture here, verse 14. So I made the mention of the word detour. And it's a, if it's a detour that we're on, it's a permanent one. Okay? We have been called out to participate in something special, something foreign to the world around us. Do we sense this difference? I get a sense for it. Are we reacting to the real sense of this difference? This difference is, for the most part, as I already said, foreign to the natural flesh and blood existence. Foreign, if I can put it, to the natural man. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14.
Might be harder to find in that book.
Okay, here's what...
Just afterwards.
1 Corinthians 2:14, I'll read it. Quote, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them." Why? "Because they are spiritually discerned." So what I want for us to consider here today is the special spiritual position that the unnatural man, because it says there's a, what does it say there? It says there that the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. So I want us to consider what this unnatural part of life that we're involved in, that's not natural to the flesh. I want to talk about that today. And we are all scattered, are we not? Small pockets of brethren here, a few here and a few there, in number. And if here we are, eight. Now, I think the best we've ever been over at the boardroom is 21. Wilma's our numbers taker. No, it was about 21, isn't it, Wilma? Something like that, yeah. Called to fellowship, called to interact. With who? With God the Father and Jesus Christ first. Yes, but as well with each other. So this afternoon's message, I give it I had a whole bunch of titles along the route here as I was putting this together, but I've entitled it "The Spirit of Unity and Fellowship." And this particular position, this unity of spirit, is a position that we've all been called to by who? By the Godhead. By God the Father and Jesus Christ. Okay? God has called us. It's very important that we be occupying this space that our calling has drawn us to. And it's been God the Father that has drawn us into the body of Christ, and that's what we need to realize. How important is that to us? You have been called, I have been called, and we answered the call. We responded, didn't we? And it needs to be conducive. This calling, this thing we're doing now, as we've come out of the world, it needs to be conducive to our being chosen. Many are called. How many times have we talked about that scripture? Many are called, few are chosen. Matthew 20:14, Matthew 22:16. We beat that up over the last year. It's a great couple of verses there by Jesus Christ. So we want to make sure that what we're doing is being conducive to being chosen and raised up in the first resurrection at the last day. Now, what happened in the womb? Not one of us had any control over whatsoever. What happened in early childhood was also very conditional on that immediate surrounding that we were found in. Okay? very conditional, because a lot of our personal choices at that time, when we were small children, were being made by who?
Parents.
By our parents or our caregivers. Maybe our teachers when we were on the playground. They were being made by them. We weren't making really necessarily all these choices. They were being made for us. But as we moved down through the road of life or on through the road of life, we grew up, didn't we? We grew up and then started to make our own personal choices, didn't we? We wanted to make our own personal choices. These choices have shaped us into the people that we are today. No question about it. Let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans 8. Verse 5. We are all answering the calling to come out and remain separate from the world and to be what? One with Jesus Christ. Where? Within His church. Let's look at Romans 8 and see what Paul says about the mind that we should have. Romans 8 and verse 5, and I quote, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." I could read on there, but I'm not going to. Just one scripture there for us. So, as we live and walk in our daily lives, we see that the focus needs to be where? Upon the spiritual, especially today on the Sabbath. Why? We are to be minding the very things that are spiritual. Look at verse 14. For as many, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, who are they? These are the sons of God. And I'm going to say there, this is not my note, it says sons. I'm with a whole room full of gorgeous women here. I don't see daughters written in there. Well, these are the sons of God. When we're resurrected, there's going to be no sex. Okay? Sons is used there. Some people would put in daughters. We are the sons and daughters of God right now, and that's a truism. Okay, so I don't like to add to the scriptures, but we got to be real here in the flesh, okay? We are the sons and daughters of God right now. We're going to be sons of God. That's how it's rendered in the scriptures. Okay, so that's no big deal. This identifies, doesn't it, those who are being led by God's Spirit, qualifying as sons. And if you're a son, what are you? Albeit a family member? Not too hard to figure out. Let's look at Ephesians 4 now. Ephesians 4. As we continue growing forward in grace and knowledge, we learn more about this all the time, and we care and love one another, and we forbear with one another. We forbear with each other and work with one another in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace. All brethren in the past, all of us now, out there and the around, in God's church, and anyone that will answer the call of God are going to be made one. In the future, we're all going to be one in unity. All of what we're going to be reading here makes us one. And the application of this factors in pretty big. One body, one spirit, one hope in regards to our calling, one Lord, one Father of all. The Godhead wants to permeate us all totally. And that brings us into the unity of the Spirit and makes us family. So let's read it here. Ephesians 4. Verses 1 to 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling by which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So that's a pretty big statement there by the Apostle Paul. So this brings us into the unity of the Spirit, and this is what makes us family. We are to be one. A big factor. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 12 this time. First Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We want 4 to 14. An overall approach of this particular subject is that we benefit each other as we are fellowshipping back and forth with each other. And we should be coming together to serve each other. When we do this, we just get, without even having to bother to even ask for it. It just happens naturally. You know, we quite often use the term, don't we, iron sharpening iron? So look at the subheading here. First Corinthians 4?
12.
Did I say 12? Yeah, my apologies. 4 to 14. Look what it says there in the subheading. Spiritual gifts, unity, and diversity. Let's read that, verse 4. We'll cut into it here. Verse 4 to 14, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, of that one body, sorry. Let me read that over again, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews, whether Greeks, whether slaves or whether free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. Amazing. Different abilities, different talents within the body, and all comes from where? From God the Father. We've all received our spiritual identities from God. We all have this DNA from God, the special DNA he wants to give us. God puts us in the body of Christ in the exact position that he wants us. You see, there is a way that we are to be. There is a way we are to be, especially with one another. Now the brethren at Corinth, they were having difficulty with this. And this very thing Paul wrote to them. Let's consider what he wrote to these brethren. Let's look again in Corinthians. Same letter to the Corinthian brethren, only just a little earlier on. Let's go back to verse or chapter 1 this time. 1 Corinthians 1. We want three verses there. 1 Corinthians 1. There were problems there in the Corinthian church, where we see that the brethren had these loyalties to these different men. We have to be endeavoring to what? Not to have loyalties to different men, but endeavor to be one. When this isn't placed, when this is not taking place, What is missing? The spirit of unity. That misses out. We miss out on that. Let's see it. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 to 13. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That there be what? No divisions. No divisions among you. But that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me, Paul speaking here, concerning you, my brethren, by the house of Cleo, by your household, that there are problems. It's called their contentions among you. And now I say this, that each of you say, oh, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Well, there were problems, weren't there? Strong words of exhortation here by Paul, declaring to them. He says, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, not by any of these other names. Okay? Paul knew how important it was going to it was to be knit together in unity and not to be divided. To be of what? Of the same mind. Now, if we don't have unity, we will not have the same spiritual development that we need. And this is of great importance. Are we of the mind of Christ? Are we of different minds? We need to be of the mind of Christ. He is the one we follow. We are knit together, are we not? What mind is it that we are looking for? Because we need the mind of the Master Shepherd, Jesus Christ. This is the rock that we all need to be building upon. Let's ask the question. Is Christ divided? Paul asks the very same question to the Corinthian brethren. The answer to the question is no, Christ is not divided. But we really seem to be sometimes, don't we? We see it in the church. In reality, where do we see ourselves today? And what has become most important in our lives now? If someone were to bring report on you, or to bring report on I, what would be said of us? What would be said of you? What would be said of me? Well, the report on us should be different than that of someone just out there in the around. It should be different. They should see something different. It certainly shouldn't be a report that there's any kind of division amongst us. Why? Because who are we supposed to be of? We're supposed to be of Christ. And he says there that there's no division in Christ. We see Christ there in Revelation 2 and 3 standing in the midst of all the churches in the around. Revelation 2 and 3. Remember his quote? We heard this a while ago. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Seven times this very saying is recorded to the churches. Not one of the churches are left out there in Revelation 2 or 3. And the church ministry use Revelation 2 and 3 a whole lot when they deliver messages to us, don't they? We go there quite a lot. Servants of God use it so frequently. Let's face the music here. We all want to enter in, don't we? Yes, we are all striving to do that. Yes, we are all listening to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And with the listing, we need to be responding in the correct way as well. So again, let's ask the question. Is Christ divided? No, he isn't. So let's get into this and consider the power of fellowship with one another, because there's quite a bit to consider concerning. And I'm going to call it something different here now. It's a new terminology. You won't find it in the Bible, but it's an interface. We're interfacing with each other, and it's a spiritual interface. That is what's prevalent in the church. That's what should be prevalent in the church in today's age. Let's have a look at Philippians 2. Turn there. Philippians, the second chapter, another epistle by Paul. Verses 1 to 5. When I talked about interfacing, it's not a biblical word. I looked it up in the concordance, it's not there. It's more of a interface, it's more of a modern day term. But it's used to describe a connection between a device or a program that brings about a connection so that they can operate or jointly communicate with each other. So we have all these things today, you know, don't we? We have all these telephones and computers and different types of electronic gadgets that bring about our ability to interface in different ways. We interface, you know, with the, what's the telephone mode? Text. Texting's a big interface today. But on the Sabbath, if you think about it today, we use the Bible as a means of interface. And of course we have God's Holy Spirit. That really levels the playing field, doesn't it? That's an interface that acts to bring us together in unity on God's holy Sabbath. And what is it that God wants in His church? What does He want us to come up with, especially here at the end? So here we see another subheading. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5. In its unity through humility. Is that in yours? That's what's in mine. It's my New King James says that. You know, this church at Philippi is comparable to the church of Philadelphia. The church of Philippi really had it going together. They were really special in Paul's mind. Paul's writing an epistle to them. This is a prison epistle, and it's really called the Epistle of Joy. Paul was quite happy with what was going on there at that time. So this church can be compared to the church at Philadelphia that we read about there in Revelation, the third chapter. Don't turn there. Read what it says here. Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5. Unity through humility. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and any mercy, fulfill my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being with one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Last verse, verse 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of what? Unity, brotherhood, fellowship, but mostly perfection. Does that make you think of a scripture? Matthew 5:48. What does Christ say? Be like my Father. He is perfect. That's the mindset we need. The Apostle Paul here was writing a thank you note. Can you imagine writing a thank you note when you're locked up and incarcerated in prison? I can't relate to it. As well as some very, very important instructions concerning unity. Well, we've been given this awesome inheritance in Christ. And we have to be mining this inheritance extra carefully. The calling is to be what? At one. To be in unity with each other. It's how we are with others. It's how we are with each other. It's how we are with the church at large that counts. And if we don't do it to the brethren whom we can see, how can we be at one with God the Father and Jesus Christ? Good question, right? Sobering question. We have to come up with the answer to that. We have to show that in our lives. You know, this isn't in my notes. I think you guys do a pretty good job. I think you do a real good job. If I had my Tilly hat on, I'd take it off to you right now. Remember where Christ says, if you have done it to them, you have done it to me. Right? So if we're doing it to each other, who are we doing it to? Any guesses? We're doing it to Christ. Exactly. We are the body of Christ here on planet Earth, represented to the around. We are something special. I've heard you guys heard this so many times. First fruit status. Doesn't get any better than that. That's what we have. First fruit status. And God is watching. We know all of this. God is watching. He's got the seven spirits roving the earth, seeking those who are looking for what? For Him. And it's happening. That's another message all on its own. With this in mind, you're probably thinking this right now. The epistle of 1 John enters in. Take a look at that. 1 John, the first chapter. Only a few scriptures there. Here the Apostle John tells us that God is light, love, and as well, the light of man. Now, in order to engage in fellowship with Him, we must walk in the light, right? Not in the darkness. In fact, John says that if we do not love each other, we do not know God. Exclamation mark. Love is more than just words, because it's worked out in our one-on-one in group fellowship every seventh day. Through what? Through our actions. Love is getting. Love is giving. Sorry, I take that back. Love is getting, because if you're giving, the other person's getting. Right? You give, she gets. I give, you get. That's what it is. Biblical love is unconditional in its nature. 1 John, the first chapter, verses 5 to 7. Fellowship with who? With Him. Capitalized there. I got my little subheading. Fellowship with Him and with one another. Verses 5 to 7, I'll quote that. This is the message which we heard from Him, capitalized, that's Christ, and declare to you that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if, there's that word if, great word, small word with a lot of meaning attached to it. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. Now, as true disciples of Christ, do you not think that we would have to care about one another? And that would be the minimum requirement. Care about one another. Oh, I care about you. Wilm, I care about you. Sandra, I care about you. I don't do anything. So care, the word just to say that I care about you would be minimal, wouldn't it? When I see these two ladies at the end of the table, Diane and Sonia, they're always caring about each other. But they don't just say it. I see Sandy and Sandra caring about each other. They don't just say it. They live it out in action. There's a play toy when I was growing up. It was called Action Jackson. Remember that one?
No.
We had Barbie.
So what I'm telling you here, what we're talking about here today, this is the character of the new man that we're putting on. We're putting what off? The old man, and putting on the new man. Let's have a look in Colossians this time. Colossians, the third chapter. Love is the bond of perfection. Remember what Christ admonishes there back in the Sermon on the Mount. I quoted it already to you. Matthew 5:48. Be like your Father in heaven who is perfect. Colossians 3. We're turning there. We all strive to emulate, don't we? As Christians, we all strive to emulate the Godhead. And that perfection. I try to. I miss the mark, but I try to do that. I know that you all do that too. So Colossians 3, I got to get there. 12 to 16. It's written there. Okay, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Here it is. Bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do the same. But above all these things, put on love, which is what? The bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. We've read this so many times. It's beautiful, isn't it? In psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, love is the bond of perfection. It's a huge statement. Unity is also built into our very actions. It's shown through the power of fellowship within the Spirit. Not with the fellowship of the world. Why? Why do I say that? Because for the most part, that's going to take us the other way. What did God say? To come out of the world and be separate. Okay? We have to be incredibly careful with that. If I have an argument with that, I better take it up with God. Don't you think? We have to be minding the spiritual things in our lives. We have to be minding our fellowship with who? God the Father, Jesus Christ, and with each other. Why? We have this ultimate destiny. Do you know where that destiny is taking us to? Eternal life in the kingdom of God. I can't even relate to it. The best I can do is almost now, coming up in September the 7th, is 65 years. That's a spot. That's a grease mark on the pavement in front of Sonia's house in comparison to eternity. That's what that is. You probably think that maybe you're thinking along the lines here now of Hebrews 10. So at this point in time, let's remind ourselves of what it says there in Hebrews 10. Because some choose not to do this. So what's Stefan talking about? About fellowship. Remember this? We're talking about unity and fellowship today. Some choose not to do it. A little earlier in the book, you go on to Hebrews 10, by the way. I'm there already. But a little earlier in the book, it's recorded that there still remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God. Hebrews 4, verse 9. Gone there many times. And having been perfected, Christ became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Another quote from Hebrews. Hebrews 5, verse 9. Don't go there. The book of Hebrews is rich in understanding for the church today. I've often thought about, why is there no author for Hebrews? Everybody comes up with these ideas. The majority think it's Paul. There's all kinds of other ideas. I won't get into that. That's another something for you guys to look at yourself. Hebrews 9, or pardon me, Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness, Hebrews 10, verse 9, yeah. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Here it is. Some aren't doing this. Mm-hmm. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So much more as you see the day of Jesus Christ return, as you see the day approaching. Yes. Stirring one another up on God's holy Sabbath day, because God wants an assembly. God wants to see our stuff, and we share back and forth with each other. And our fellowship is the way we show God our stuff. Okay? Some choose not to, but there are some exceptions to the rule here. We know that. We know that there's been sickness. Sandy and Sonia were iffy today. They came back from their river cruise with, I don't know where they got it, but they had this really bad cough. But I haven't heard you guys cough. It's amazing. God's put the healing hand on you already. That's exactly. I've been praying about that, by the way. But there's sickness. You know, a lot of carry on with that kind of stuff in the world today. People get in their 80s and 90s, and they're pretty feeble and weak. Now we have one here that's. Says she's going to check out on us. I don't think so. 91 years old. And if I had my hat on, I'd take it off to June. That's amazing. She's amazing. She's a very vibrant and strong.
Do you feel amazing and vibrant and strong today?
Not today.
Well, I don't know.
Looks like you are.
If I lived to be 91, if I'm half of you, I'd be thankful. I'll tell you, you're amazing. So we have other things too that come into play, don't we? Distances. People haven't got a congregation. We can't take it for granted. This fellowship we have is special. But some choose not to, you know, and there are some exceptions. Distances and sicknesses and all this sort of thing. But there's real powerful. Or real power, rather, in our spiritual fellowship. And the more we put into it and serve each other, the more we get out of it. So let's not, and we quoted verse 24, I think I read it. Let's consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. This is so important! ! Stir up good works. Now a few pages over, Hebrews 13, 14 to 16. Hebrews 13, 14 to 16. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Where is that? That's the New Jerusalem. Okay? So we seek the one to come. Verse 15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to his name, but do not forget to do good and to share. That is fellowship. So, but do not forget to do good and to fellowship, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I really accentuate on that. God is well pleased. By fellowshipping with each other, by doing good by each other. It's a strong sterling example. Christ did it. He never drew away. He never tried to run away from multitudes. This interface with each other is of royal importance. Fellowship is a sacrifice of the giving of ourselves to each other. The question can be asked, what do I give? You guys give a lot, I'll tell you. A whole lot. And we kid around a little bit here and a little bit there, and I try to get certain people here in this congregation all worked up. And I think they realize it's all part of fellowship. Is it not? I see the one lady smiling when I say that. It's exactly what it is. Giving of ourselves in fellowship is very, very, very special. We've been called to this. This is our calling, brethren. We are to be interfacing with each other. It's not a good enough word. Fellowshipping is better. We are to be fellowshipping and responding to each other in love and in peace, bringing forth the unity of spirit. We've got that. We've got that unity. Let's take a look at Philippians, the first chapter this time. I think we're already in Philippians. This time we're going to go to the first chapter. Conducting ourselves worthily, standing fast with each other in one spirit. Let's read that. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or not, I am absent. I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel message. What is that gospel message? The coming kingdom of God, that's what it is. And it's just ahead of us. At the narrow gate. So by fellowshipping with each other, that makes it extra special. And here we are at the end of the age, very close to the return of Jesus Christ. Close! Not one of us can work out our salvation from the longhouse. Everybody knows what the longhouse is. That's the terminology for the grave. That's the resting place of the grave, the longhouse. We can't work out our salvation from there. We're working out our salvation here. We're in the longhouse. The working out of our salvation has come to an end. We have to do it now. We have to do it very carefully. You know something? If you guys have ever seen time stand still, share it with me. I've never seen it yet. Time never stands still. Especially in the summertime. We've already had a joke about that. Each one of us are on our very own personal quest for the coming kingdom. As first fruits of God. And that is a lofty status. Brethren, that's a lofty status. We've all been called to reach maturity. We need to be growing and not remain as stagnant. I don't see that happening here at all. We're all moving forward. I take my Tilly hat off to each one of us. Christ shows the way. He came as a pinprick of life in the beginning. A pinprick of life. Spent the full gestation period of 9 months inside the womb, just like we did. I talked about that earlier on. He grew up as a child, just as we did. He came into contact with the world, just as we did. He overcame the world, just as we are to do. We're still wrestling with that, aren't we? I know that I am. But he became our high priest and was crucified, resurrected to the right hand of the Father. He finished the work that the Father had sent him to do. And we're all called to be a part of this work here at the end, to be in God's kingdom as well. Called to give up our lives if need be. I hate the thought of that. We're called to do that when our change comes and we've been taken up on that sea of glass by the angels. However that works out. And we've made it to that status of the first resurrection. What we've done will finally show itself in the fullness we're going to be. As we know, it says there in Revelation, priests of God under Christ, we are going to take on these leadership roles as well. The weakened base of the world becoming not weakened base anymore. It's amazing. Our calling is to be preparing right now to be priests under Christ in the kingdom of God. We read that, and I've read it many times to you in Revelation 20, verse 6. That very status, the second death, has no power over whatsoever. Eternal life. Think about it. Got a few exclamation marks after that. Will we trade off this temporary life that is a flash in the pan in comparison to that which is yet to come? That's another sermon all on its own. The answer is no, we wouldn't. But for the here and now, we need to come to the maturity of the faith. A big part of our calling is to be at one with each other. And again, you guys are doing a magnificent job. Do we have the faith and desire to understand this, to take this in and say, yeah, I'm in? That's a hokey pokey, isn't it? We have to be all in. So as we start to wind this down today, let's consider what is recorded for us there in John 10. Let's look there. Always remembering to be minding the things of the Spirit, because you know something? There are all kinds of voices out there, but only the one voice of Jesus Christ has to cut through all this mumble jumble that's going on. John 10, verses 1 to 5. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter in at the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him, the doorkeeper opens. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep, by name, and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. But he will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. He's doing that for you and I. Verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they hear my voice, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. Christ is the one leading us. He is the master shepherd. One shepherd, one flock, many sheepfolds, and we do not, brethren, know them all. Some say out there, and you've heard this, some say out there, oh, we're the only ones. We're the only true church. We've heard that. But we are called to be something. And all this stuff goes on out there. We are called to be of the same mind. And what is that mindset? If we could ask the question, we are to be of the mindset of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Master Shepherd. We see Christ there telling those in his day important things to keep in mind, don't we? And it's recorded here as well. And as well, his disciples heard it. And a little further on in John's Gospel, let's read it there as well. John 17. John the 17th chapter. Verses 6. to 11. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. How important is keeping the word? Have to be keeping the word. Now they have known that all things which you have given to me are from you, and I have given to them the words which you have given to me, and they have received them, and have surely known that I came forth from you, and that they believed that you sent me. I pray for them, but I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all are mine, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 11, I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we too are one. There are a lot of expectations to have God within. One calling, we know that. One baptism, we also know that. Being at one with each other is something very special. There is a psalm about this. We know that David spoke about it. The only scripture we're going to use here this afternoon from what we call the Old Testament, not that there's anything old about it. Let's take a look at Psalm 133. 23 verses there. Remembering these words of Psalm 133. Looking at it from a spiritual standpoint, what an amazing benefit. The subheading here in the New King James, Psalm 133. Blessed unity of the people of God. Blessed unity. That's the subheading. Psalm 133. Blessed unity of the people of God. Let's read it. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is.
Is that 143?
133. My apologies.
133.
Psalm 133. Three verses. Blessed. Or behold, sorry. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard, talking about the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded a blessing. Life forevermore. That's what we're going to have. But he wants us to be unified as a people. That's what that is talking about. It's God's desire that we dwell in unity. It will be the same in the kingdom. Not going to be any different. Unity. If at all possible, we are not really to be alone now. If at all possible. Unity is something so special. Because you just read it. It's like a watering where we actually grow. When we're being watered, you quit drinking water for 3 days, you're done. You gotta have water. So it's like a watering, this fellowship that we have. Yeah. Being together now and being together later. Not gonna go away. The connections we have now are eternal. These connections are special. We had amazing connections growing up as children too, didn't we? But so many of those connections are long gone. Why? Because they were temporary. We're to be, right now, to be developing the character of our high priest, Jesus Christ. One body, one flock. We know many sheepfolds, having a spirit of unity. This is God's desire. As we fellowship, as we go back and forth with each other, there is a special holy mixture that we are applying to each other. Like the dew of Mount Hermon that we just read about. That brings about abundant life. It brings this all into the mix, doesn't it? This abundant life in Christ, as it says here, bringing blessings. For how long? 91 years? 65 years? No, forevermore. It's amazing. God has called us to be in this kingdom that's going to go on to eternity. Since the rule and reign of Jesus Christ is going to be for 1,000 years, but after that, there's a new day starting up. We learned about that in the last day of the feast. We'll see that at the feast this year. It's the last great day. It's just amazing, that message. Think about what is yet to come. Something so awesome, we cannot even really humanly understand it. Even though we have the Spirit of God coursing through our beings, it's hard to understand because we are flesh and blood. And the things of the Spirit, you have to have the Spirit of God to understand it. May we chase after this unity of faith, with as much perfection, brethren, as we possibly can. Very important to us. It's our lifeblood. Thank you for coming today. And I hope that this message was helpful to all of you.
Very good. Thank you.